Kara, to give me.
Give.
More, committed. So, dear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please give me your mercy. Tomara, Vina, He, Doyalu, Jagat Samsari. So, Jagat Samsari, in this world where there's birth and death, Tomara,
transcendental happiness.
but I'm very unhappy. But if you can give me your mercy, then I can also become happy. So Lord Nityananda is called Nityananda, always happy. So we have to see whether or not I'm actually happy. You think, well, I'm happy too. He's happy, we're all happy. He's doing his thing, I'm doing mine, we're all quite happy. But whether or not we're actually happy like Lord Nityananda, that may be a different thing. So if we want to get a little experience what Lord Nityananda's happiness is like, Nityananda, then we can pray to him. And then, Joya Kara Sitapati Advaita Goshai, O husband of Sitapati, O husband of Sitarani, Sita, Advaita Sharya, that if you give me your mercy, then I'll also get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. Because Advaita Sharya came specifically so that the conditioned souls in this world will be able to get the mercy of Gornitai. So we pray to Lord Vaidyacharya for his mercy, and then he'll certainly bestow his mercy, though we can get Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy. Then he prays to the six Goswamis, and also Lokanath and Goswami, and Swarup Damodar, their great associates of the Panchatattva. So if we pray for their mercy, they'll give us the instruction how we can actually get the mercy of these great personalities. Then he prays to the Dvayakara Sri Acharya, Prabhu Srinivas, to the virtuous spiritual master, Ramachandra Sandamange Narottamadas, so that may he follow the instructions in this world of his personal spiritual master and live in the association of devotees trying to execute the will of the previous Acharyas. So if we actually think about these things and actually sing it with some meaning, then it actually has completely had a much greater effect than simply singing the words that we know them at all. We should actually meditate. These songs are actually for meditation and for realization. It's as good as reading the scriptures, Prabhupada says, that these songs by Narottama Das Thakur is as good as the Vedic scriptures. But we have to read it, just like we have to read the scriptures with intention and with trying to assimilate and understand what we're reading. But also we have to assimilate trying to understand what we're singing. And then if we're singing it with a proper feeling, then automatically these great personalities will actually reciprocate with us. Because they're not far away, they're ever present, and it's simply up to us to have the right understanding, the right mood. And then automatically, or not automatically, but by their mercy, then they'll reciprocate with us, and we'll get a deeper experience of what is Krishna consciousness, and a much greater understanding of what our transcendental relationship is with these persons, these different devotees, and avatars. Thank you. Stabitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadam ayam vidati svapadantikam Vandeham shigaro shiyuta parakamalam Shigaram vaishnavam scha Shri rupam sagradatam Sahagana lalita shivasakam vidam scha He Krishna karnasindo dinabando vidatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavana Sukadevi Pranamamiri Priye Vanchakavam Yuryasya Kripa Sindhuni Vajra Padidanam Vahadevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Maha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramadinanda Shadvaitya Dharar Shivasini Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
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 Charitamrita or Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura
Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila Chapter 6 The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Text Number 96 Shuniya Acharya Kahe Dukhi Hanumane
Shuniya Acharya Kahe Dukhi Hanumane
Shastra Gyan Karina Tumi Kara Abhimane
Shastra Gyan Karina Tumi Kara Abhimane
Shuniya Acharya Kahe Dukhi Hanumane
Shuniya Acharya Kahe Dukhi Hanumane
Shastra Gyan Karina Tumi Kara Abhimane
Shastra Gyan Karina Tumi Kara Abhimane
Shuniya,
hearing this.
Acharya, Gopinath Acharya. Kahe, says. Dukhi, unhappy. Hana,
becoming.
Mane,
in the mind.
Shastra Gya, well versed in Vedic scriptures. Karina, taking as. Tumi, you. Kara, do. Abhimane, pride. Translation. Upon hearing this, Gopinath Acharya became very unhappy. He said to the Bhattacharya, you consider yourself a knower of all Vedic scriptures. So here we find out what Gopinath Acharya's opinion is of the mood of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That obviously he was quite a learned person, but abhimana, there's some pride in his learning. So although he has some pride in his learning, he's undoubtedly quite learned, but obviously his pride has prevented him from actually understanding the purport of the scriptures. And he knows so many things about the scriptures, but he hasn't really understood as deeply as he has to. So Gopinath Acharya tonight is criticizing him, but he'll actually tell him the actual purport of the scriptures. So Bhagavata Bharata Duri Shastriya Padam Se Duri Granta Vakye Nahi Avadam. Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata are the two most important Vedic scriptures, but you have paid no attention to these statements. So here we find out that Srimad Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata are the two most important scriptures for different reasons. Mahabharata is important because it gives access to the general class of people, Sri Sudra, Sambhava, Sattva, Shudra, to the lower or the less intelligent people to gradually understand something about spiritual life. And Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's meant to the Paramahamsas, the postgraduates. We see here that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, although he's a follower of Sankaracharya, but he's not going to object when Gopinath Acharya says these are the two most important scriptures. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya doesn't say, well, who cares about those scriptures? Have you read Sharira Bhashya? He also seems to agree with that these are very important scriptures. Se dui kahi kalita shakshat avatar tumi kaha kalite nahi vishnura prashar. The Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, it is stated that the Lord appears directly. But you have said in this age there is no manifestation or incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Kali Yuga Avatara Nakare Bhagavan Adeva Tri Yuga Kare Kahe Karanam. In this age of Kali, there is no Leela avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is known as Tri Yuga. That is one of his holy names. Purport. A Leela avatar is an incarnation of the Lord who performs a variety of activities without making any special endeavor. He always has one pastime after another, all full of transcendental pleasure. And these pastimes are fully controlled by the Supreme Person. The Supreme Person is totally independent of all others in these pastimes. While teaching Sanatana Goswami, Madhya Leela 20, 296-298, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that one cannot count the number of Leela avatars. Leela avatar Krishnera na yayagana pradana karida kahi digdarshana. However, the Lord told Sanatana, I shall explain the chief Leela avatars. Vasukorma raganata nrsingha vamana varahade lekiyara nayayaganana. Thus the Lord's incarnations were enumerated, including Matsya, the fish incarnation, Korma, the tortoise, Lord Ramachandra, Narsingha Dev, Vamana Dev, and Varaha, the four incarnations. Thus there are innumerable Leela avatars, and all these exhibit wonderful pastimes. Lord Varaha, the four incarnation, lifted the entire planet Earth from the depths of the Garbhadatha ocean. The tortoise incarnation, Lord Korma, became a pivot to the emulsification of the whole city. And Lord Nrsimhadeva appears half man, half lion. These are some of the wonderful and common features of the Leela avatars. In his book, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has enumerated the following 25 Leela avatars. Chatyasana, Narada, Varaha, Matsya, Chatyasana, the four Kumaras, Narada, Varaha, Matsya, Jaga, Nar Narayan, Kapila, Dattatreya, Hayashirsha, Harigriva, Hamsa, Krishnigarbha, Rishabha, Prithu, Nrsingha, Korma, Dantavantari, Mohini, Vamana, Parashuram, Raghavendra, Vyas, Balaram, Krishna, Buddha, and Kalki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not mentioned as a Leela avatar because he is an incarnation disguised, Chana avatar. In this age of Kali, there are no Leela avatars, but there is an incarnation of the Lord manifested in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, This has been explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Vishnu Graya Krishna Prasthaya Gurave Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Vishnuvani Paskatya Deva Siddharana. Here two scholars are discussing the scripture, and on the basis of their discussion, then there is, and their discussion of course here is about Krishna, and they make decisions in Krishna consciousness, just like people make decisions here. They're interested in making money in the stock market, then they go to the stock market and they discuss which stocks are going up and which stocks are going down, and then they make their decision about what to do with their stocks on that basis. So those who are interested in the spiritual life, it's not that they stop talking, but their talk is different. It has a different objective. So here the talk is about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is he? So this is interesting for us also, so we can get some idea. Who is Lord Chaitanya? We know that he likes to dance, because one thing we see, he seems to, and him and his brother always are dancing. Doesn't matter. They're class two, though, better than we are. So here, something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being expressed, that he's not a Leela avatar. So that may not mean very much for us. We can still love him even if he's not a Leela avatar. So there are different types of avatars, such as Guna avatar, Leela avatar, Yuga avatar, Manvantara. What else is there? Sakyavesh avatar. Anything else? Purusha avatar. So there are different types, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Yuga avatar. Of course, Krishna was also a Yuga avatar, but he's known as a Leela avatar. And here it says that he has one, the criteria for being a Leela avatar is that he performs a variety of activities without making any special endeavor. He always has one pastime after another, all full of transcendental pleasure, and these pastimes are fully controlled by the Supreme Person. The Supreme Person is totally independent in all other, of all others in these pastimes. So this describes Lord Krishna. So obviously it must also describe Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is Krishna. He's Krishna as Chana avatar. So he's not considered a Leela avatar, because he is even a more special incarnation, because he's hidden. Because Buddha was also hidden, but for a different purpose. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming specifically to teach us how to become a devotee. So from his position as God, it would be very difficult to teach us how to become a devotee. And he comes also to relish the taste of being a devotee. All the incarnations, including all the expansions of Krishna, even Sankarshan, who lies down in the causal ocean, or Narayan in Vaikuntha, Balaram, who's his immediate expansion, all of them relish the taste of being a devotee. The only person who doesn't relish the taste of being a devotee is Krishna, so he feels left out. He becomes thinking that why am I left out? Everyone else is happy being a devotee, and I can't experience the same happiness. So he also joins the club. So he becomes a devotee himself. Sounds a little egotistical, because we're all devotees of ourselves too. His mood of devotion to himself is a little different from ours. When we're devotees of ourselves, we can't help but being selfish and being in our devotion. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, is so great, he can actually separate himself from himself and become a devotee of himself selflessly. When he tries to please himself, it's without any personal motivation.
That's a little hard to understand. But that's the inconceivable potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Lord Krishna. That he can actually adopt the mood of his devotee, Srimati Radharani. And here we're saying that his purpose of coming may be manifold. Sometimes it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that his prime purpose of coming was to taste the internal relationship between Radha and Krishna. Specifically in the mood of Srimati Radharani, how she's loving Krishna. That Srimati Radharani, just by loving Krishna, she takes unlimited pleasure, more than Krishna takes being loved. Because Krishna also loves everyone, so he takes pleasure in loving. But Srimati Radharani is so surrendered in loving that she has more pleasure than Krishna can, from her loving feelings, and Krishna can understand. And the pleasure that Srimati Radharani takes when she experiences Krishna's love. So Krishna undoubtedly experiences happiness when he experiences Srimati Radharani's love, but Srimati Radharani experiences more happiness when she experiences Krishna's love. And also the qualities that Srimati Radharani experiences that Krishna has. Krishna knows he has some qualities, but he can't relish them as much as Srimati Radharani can. So in order to get this enjoyment of devotion, then he takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this is Krishna, that he doesn't, he's always trying to become more and more Krishna conscious. We may not be so much interested in Krishna consciousness, but Krishna is certainly interested in Krishna consciousness. That's all he's interested in. Of course, in our small way, we're interested in our own consciousness, which is part of Krishna consciousness, but Krishna is interested in everyone's consciousness. And he's interested in his own consciousness, how to increase his loving feelings and his loving dealings with his devotees. Krishna is independent, but in his loving exchanges with his devotees, he takes unlimited pleasure also, more pleasure than he could take just independently. So Krishna is always interested in how to increase those loving exchanges with his devotees. So without that interest, even if he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread the Sankirtan movement, he wouldn't get very far. If Krishna came and he was in Maya, just preaching without any experience of himself, he's an acharya. An acharya means that you have to experience yourself, otherwise, what will you preaching mean? It'll just be so many words. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing what he's preaching about, therefore it's much more effective. So he's specifically teaching us how to experience separation from Krishna. He's not teaching us how to meet Krishna in this world. Obviously, he's not teaching us how to become God, or even how to meet God in this world. He's teaching us how to feel separation from Krishna. Our main problem in this world is that we don't feel any separation from Krishna. We think, what is the value of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's coming here to teach us how to feel separation from Krishna. That's nice. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and taught a business course how to make money, how to get some Chintamani stones or something, I'd invest in Chintamani. Then many people would come and think, well, he actually had some purpose, some meaningful purpose to appear in the world. Because many people are interested in business. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and taught a health class, how to become Chaitanya, how to live for a long time, how to develop your life force, then people would become interested. But he's coming only specifically to teach how to feel separation in the mood of devotion from Radha and Krishna in this world. And he's not coming to, he's coming to teach people who are, as it says, Patita Pavana, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Doya Kora More. Then in this world, the problem is that no one feels separation from Krishna. We're spiritual souls, we're suffering due to this bodily identification. The only remedy is to become Krishna conscious And the only way of developing Krishna consciousness is to develop a desire to become Krishna conscious. But we won't develop a desire to become Krishna conscious unless we feel actually that we're actually separated from Krishna, and that there is some good reason not to be separated from Krishna. So he's coming to teach that directly in the Shikshastika prayers, and also through his devotees, such as the six Goswamis and their followers. And he's coming to teach the most formal. So we find the mood of the six Goswamis, we find the mood of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, of Haridas Thakur. The whole mood of the simple succession is that of humility, of feeling bad that we came to the material world, and that we're separated from Krishna, even feeling a little guilty. Because the psychologists will say that they're just trying to make you feel guilty so they can take advantage of it. It's part of the technique of the cult. Keep them all feeling humble and submissive and guilty so that they get them to do a lot of service. Get them working all the time. Atone for their sins. So for persons who are in Maya, who actually don't believe that there are spiritual beings who are completely absorbed in the bodily concept of life, this feeling of, actually we did something wrong, they'll object to it. Although, in spite of all their objections, they're still in the material body, they're still in illusion, so their objections don't help them very much. On the other hand, those who are spirit transcendentalists, they can understand there must be something wrong. How is it that I'm a spiritual soul and I'm in the material world? That either it's God's fault or it's my fault. Easier to blame God. Therefore we have to learn that actually there must be something wrong with me. So what's wrong with me? You know, it's not that we didn't put our tilak on properly or our dhotis aren't exactly, you know, straight. What's wrong with us is that we're not feeling separation from Krishna. And why are we not feeling separation from Krishna? Because we're puffed up. That we actually think we have some special qualification. That we actually think that this body is some kind of ticket, maybe to heaven or somewhere. Who knows where it's going to take me, but we're actually puffed up. Therefore, this patita pavana is another way, srinada pisanishena, that we're supposed to become humble. But becoming humble doesn't mean simply to go around thinking, you know, trying to pretend that we're humble. We're actually in a very humble position. It just takes a little thoughtfulness, and then we make some inroads becoming a little humble. That if we're, as I mentioned, we're Keshava Gra. What is that? That if you take one hair, the tip of the hair, and you divide it 100 times, and divide that 100 times, That's as big as we are. 1/10,000 the size of tip hair and such. Not very big. Not any real reason to get puffed up about it. Even we grew bigger, we were 2/10,000 the size of the tip hair and such. I'm twice as big as you are, 2/10,000 the size. Still, you know, we're quite small. And compared to Krishna, we're completely insignificant. Therefore, we have every good reason to be humble, because in spite of our small size, we're in a great illusion right now. And therefore, those who are actually elevated, they'll think themselves fallen. Those who actually understand their position, they'll understand, actually, we're fallen. We're supposed to be in the spiritual world, serving Radha and Krishna, and we're here, you know, running after our tails in 8,400,000 species of life. And we've been doing this since time immemorial, and we're happy about it. We're not only happy about it, but they're writing books and singing, and they're singing about it. It's on the internet, it's on all, they're making thousands of musicals about it, and records, and videos, all about how the foolish living entity is pretending that he's actually happy in a miserable world. Therefore, little meditation, patita pavana hetu tava arata, you've come here to deliver the fallen, so we should actually consider that we do need his mercy, because we are fallen. So those who are actually elevated, they think themselves fallen, and those who are actually very degraded, they think themselves very elevated. So that mood of humility is actually the mood that we're trying to cultivate. Not just humble, you know, yes boss, whatever you want boss. With the idea that I'll do whatever the boss wants because he'll give me what I want. And one day I'll become the boss. And I'll be able to tell other people, no, go, yes boss. But actually the mood of humility, it has to be there that actually Krishna is the boss and we're actually surrendered to the fact. Eternally. Not that he's the boss until, you know, learn a few tricks and then turn the tables on when he's not looking. So that's not the mood. It's a real mood of humility that Krishna deserves to be the boss. Because he has all the qualifications to be the boss. And therefore I actually want to become his servant. And then haha prabhu nityananda premananda sukhi. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming with so many associates, and they're showing us, because it's very difficult to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He seems to be always absorbed in thoughts of Radha and Krishna. It seems good enough for him, but what about me? I mean, I could hardly think of, you know, Radha and Krishna a few seconds a day. Maybe during the kirtan when I'm not thinking, you know, when I'm inattentive, then I think of Radha and Krishna for a few minutes, but I don't know what I'm doing. It happens, even against my will. But he seems to be always absorbed in separation, running after hills, thinking they're going around. He seems quite, you know, he's mad after Krishna, literally crazy. I may be mad, but certainly mad after Krishna. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and he comes along with associates such as Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda, he's also crazy, but we can relate to him a little bit more because he seems a little bit more like us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him to go and put, you know, on Sankirtan along with his, you know, other associates. And he goes out on Sankirtan every day. He has to preach. He's not only preaching to great scholars, but he's going out there and meeting Jagai and Madhavs. And preaching to them, role, you know, telling them to chant Hare Krishna. Seems quite basic. Karo Krishna was that Bhaja Krishna, to worship Krishna, and to Bolo Krishna, chant about Krishna, and Karo Krishna Shika. So Nityananda is going everywhere, telling people, chant Krishna's name, and worship Krishna, and follow his instructions. So this seems a little bit more what we're doing. And he's happy doing it. He's just completely in ecstasy, just following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, serving him. And we may not be able to, I mean, Lord Nityananda is a little unusual. Sometimes he rides into Navadvipa on crocodiles and things like that. So it's sometimes a little hard to relate to him. His associates are a little unusual. You read the Chaitanya Bhagavat, sometimes in their ecstasy, they're so ecstatic, they start dancing on the leaves of the trees. Not when the trees, leaves have fallen, but actually when they're still on the leaf, they're still on the tree. They start dancing on the branches and leaves of the tree. So hard to imitate them or exactly understand where they're, as they say in English, where they're coming from. Sometimes in ecstasy, his associates, they go up and embrace the tree, but they embrace him so lovingly that they uproot the tree. Therefore also, some of the associates, haha swarup sanatana rupa ragana, they come down even to even more basic levels of our understanding. The six Goswamis, they did things like stay in Vrindavan, bow down before the devotees, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, discuss Krishna's topics. They didn't, you know, do things that are so unusual to us. Although, when you get a little even more deeper into that, you know, they Raghunath Das Goswami would live on a pad of buttermilk every other day. And I guess when he wasn't hungry, he didn't eat the pad of buttermilk. And they used to sleep 1 or 2 hours a night. And when they were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they even forgot that. So even that's a little hard to relate to. Therefore, you know, the present acharyas, the association devotees, that was there even during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Something we can relate to, the life of Srinivas Acharya, the life of Ramachandra, how they lived in association, and they served these great personalities. And the same, not something different, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting, and they were also dancing and chanting. But Nityananda was dancing and chanting, the six ghosts, Advaita Acharya was dancing and chanting, the six Goswamis were dancing and chanting, so we're dancing, we're all doing the same thing, but maybe on a slightly different, and maybe on quite a different level though. But the idea is that by praying to the mercy of these great personalities, that gradually we can get to these levels. Of course people won't appreciate it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come as Krishna. I mean, probably so the people didn't appreciate that either. It's not that everyone appreciates even Krishna. Dantavakra didn't seem to appreciate Krishna, nor did Putana, or Agasura, or Kamsa. Many people don't appreciate Krishna, but as a matter of fact, Prabhupada said even when Krishna came, very few people understood he was God. So he may not have been a Chana avatar in the scriptures, but for most people he was quite hidden. And Lord Ramachandra, except for Ayodhya, he didn't have so many followers in Ravana's kingdom at least, maybe Vibhishana and a few people, but he wasn't popular everywhere. Nor did he come for popularity contests. He wasn't looking for election and he didn't try it in Lanka. He wasn't trying to run a popularity contest. He was God. And maybe in the first yuga, I guess that the Leela, the yuga avatar, there is said to be Kapila Dev. But even Kapila Dev, the 60,000 sons of Sagara, they came, when they thought he stole the horse, they upraised their weapons to kill him. Unfortunately for them, they didn't get very far. They got burned to ashes, either by Kapila Dev's anger or by their own internal anger themselves. So Krishna is not coming for a popularity contest. Sometimes he's a little bit more well-known, although he's the most well-known, he's the most famous, but not everyone understands when he comes. And certainly, people don't understand, they didn't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they didn't even understand Lord Nityananda, they didn't understand Advaita Acharya, or the six Goswamis, or the present devotees either. So we're not really expecting that everyone is going to understand us, although we try to make ourselves as easily understandable as possible. We try to make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as easily understandable as possible, but it may not be possible for those persons who are thinking themselves very elevated in this material world to understand these things. Therefore, it's hidden to them. So if we're trying to become too popular, that may be a bad sign also. If we roll over backwards just to become popular, then we may be missing the point. Because we want to be popular amongst those people who can actually appreciate good qualities. We don't want to be popular by developing non-devotional qualities, bad qualities, so that there will be a class of persons who will appreciate, yes, these Hare Krishnas are normal. They finally, you know, they're doing normal things like smoking and eating meat. They become normal. You know, they've lost their discrimination, so they're normal like everyone else. No, it says, Krishna Kirtana Gana Gana. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro. Premam Ritambo Nidhi. Dira dira guna priya priya karo nirmatsaro pujito Sri Chaitanya Shri Chaitanya Kripavaro Bhuri Bhuvo Paravahantarako Bande Rupa Sanatana Radhu Yoga Shri Diva Gopalago. So the six Goswamis, they were simply dancing and chanting. But they were still popular amongst the Dhira and the Adhira. The sober-minded persons, they were very popular because they, people could understand what they were doing. And for the Adhira, the persons who were not sober-minded, still they tried to act as, they were gentlemanly towards them. They tried to act to them in a way that they could appreciate as much as possible. Of course, not everyone, all the Adhiras appreciated even the six Goswamis completely, because we find that sometimes they had their distractors also. One scholar came, tried to defeat Rupa Goswami, and he just signed it, yes, I've been defeated, etc. So we can find also instances. But they tried to act in such a way that they didn't disturb the Adhira, and they tried to benefit the Dhira, or the and they tried to elevate the Adhira. Therefore, we can understand something about the qualities of these great personalities, so we can follow in their footsteps also. But we don't find Rupa Goswami doing things which were against the principles of Vaishnava behavior in order to become popular. So that we have to carefully consider what is our position and what does it mean to actually follow them. And that way, although maybe Krishna consciousness may be hidden to some, but if we actually become Krishna conscious ourselves, then for those who are actually sincere about the process of Krishna consciousness, then it won't be hidden to them. At least it won't be hidden to us. Because right now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Chana Avatar, and although we can we've recognized him to a certain extent, that he's the Supreme Lord, but still he remains a mystery to us. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remains, Lord Krishna remains a mystery somewhat to us also. But if we follow what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us in the terms of the literature left by the past acharyas and the present devotees, and we take the institution given to us by Srila Prabhupada and the facilities to engage in devotional service according to their directions, and gradually these things will become uncovered. So we'll find that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a great scholar in the Vedic literature, a great logician, but he wasn't at that time, at least at this point, a devotee. Therefore, he cannot understand these things. But we're not really interested in just scholarship. We're not interested in even just austerities. We're interested in developing Krishna consciousness, actually becoming conscious of Krishna. And that's only possible through devotion. And that devotion is only possible when we understand things in such a way that we actually recognize ourselves, who we actually are. What is our actual position? What it means to actually be a servant of Krishna, who is Krishna, and who we are. And what is our eternal relationship with Him? Now and eternally. Just to understand things properly. So I think I'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes. In Vrindavan they were, but I don't know amongst the Muslims. And Vrindavan is the place where Krishna is, anyone who is a devotee of Krishna, at least especially at that time, would become quite popular. Of course they were quite saintly in their behavior. Sanatana Goswami, he knew exactly how to deal with people. He used to personally counsel, go from village to village, and he was more or less like their father and counsel them in all different narratives and their disputes, and so he was quite popular. He was a quite good preacher. But it wasn't that everyone appreciated what they were doing. There was a whole group of Muslims at that time who were just tearing down temples. They used to take the deities and make them, they used to grind the deities down and make them as the stairways into their mosques, along with the bones of the Brahmins that they had slaughtered. So So they were. I don't think the Six Goswamis were totally popular with this class of people. But for those who were interested in, you know, who had some interest in developing Krishna consciousness, then those were, they were quite popular. They knew how to develop a spark of devotion within everyone. Yes.
In the beginning, before the class, you were explaining about the song, and you said it was very important to become conscious of the meaning of the song, and in this way get more benefit. So I was thinking about like you have the Protestants, and they changed the Latin songs, the original, into the common language, and sing that in church instead of, I think Kirtanananda Maharaj was doing that.
Yeah,
also
we see what happened with him.
There was also
probably you can try and think of a better example.
Well, the question is, what is our
We should learn the songs. We should learn the meanings. It's not that our brain, you know, my brain is so, you know, to learn Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Prabhu, oh, this is too hard to learn this word, Prabhu. You know, 20 years, and, you know, my brain is too taxed to learn what this means. And even if not, when we're saying it, if we just remember what it means, then it'll have some benefit. We should have, otherwise, you can sing, "Oh, my dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me in this world." No, you can sing, you can make a song like that, we can all sing it, but here in Radhadesh, we have someone from France, we have someone from, devotees from Holland, we have devotees from America, from, you know, speak, you know, all different types of languages. So which language should we sing it in? English, of course. You know, then when you go to France, then you have to learn French. So instead of learning Sanskrit, or learning Bengali, or learning a few words, we have to wind up learning hundreds of languages, just so we can participate. And then the translator, this is just a standard language. And besides the fact that this is the language of the